The following talk was given by Steve Hagen at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on March 20, 2005. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Good morning. It's good to see you all today. Isn't it wonderful now that the sun is back in the northern hemisphere, huh? Just arrived this morning at 6:33. I looked on my calendar, the equinox. Yeah, it feels like spring. Though I suppose people from warmer climes would wonder what I'm talking about when there's still snow around here, but anyway, nice day today. Today, I thought what I'd talk about is after, for those of you who may have been here last week, we had Claude Anshin Thomas, soldier turned peace activist, gave a very, I thought, a very moving talk and really pointed out a real problem that we have as human beings, our violence, that we can create a great deal of trouble for ourselves and in the world if we're not watching this and if we're not really truly learning that peace, it starts right here. First of all, it's right here. In fact, this is it. It's right here. And it's easy for us to forget that, and we're looking at what other people are doing or what it is that we want to bring about out there. And we don't understand that in the process of doing that, there's violence involved, and we're not noticing that because we've already labeled ourselves, well, I'm peaceful and I want peace. And I think that's probably true in many cases. That is our heart. That is our desire. That's what we want. But if we're not paying careful attention, we're going to cause trouble. So what it really comes down to then is this matter of personal responsibility and looking at just this. I thought of the line, I realized that I'd never actually given a talk on this as part of a class on the Eightfold Path, but I've never given a Sunday talk like this on this line, though I've used it. But it was the last thing that the Buddha offered, and that is what he said, be a light unto yourself. Betake yourselves to no external refuge. Hold fast to the truth. Look not to refuge for anyone besides yourselves. This is kind of like his final say. Wanted to just make sure to get this across to us. Be a light unto yourself. Well, I think when we hear something like this, generally we are kind of caught up in ourselves. We're always seeing things from our own perspective. And so we might think that the Buddha was telling us, you know, find your own way. You do it yourself. You create this way. You create these standards. You set it up there for yourself. You work on that. And that's not at all what the Buddha was saying there. It's like it says in the Merging a Difference in Unity, don't set up standards of your own. This is also right there in what the Buddha said. So then what does he mean? Be a light unto yourself. Betake yourselves to no external refuge. What is he talking about there? Well, so very often when we are seeing everything in terms of ourself, and then somehow we get this instruction, we think that, whoa, no. So I've got to set it out there. I've got to forge this path. I have to create it. Well, what we don't understand is that we immediately engage ourselves now in this very important work, but out of a kind of a selfish desire to bring about certain kinds of ends, to please ourselves, to protect ourselves. Maybe we even think things like, well, I just have to rely on myself, like somehow we can kind of dispense with other people. And of course, this is very, very delusional. We can't do that. So then what does it mean then to be a light unto yourself? To betake yourself to no external refuge? Well, it is because so very often in seeing ourselves as just this isolated, separate little entity here, very often we are looking to something else as a refuge. And very often we are trying to forge our way into the world, trying to set it up our way, trying to make it go a particular way. We don't see the violence in that. We don't see the confusion in that. We don't see the lack of understanding, the lack of any possibility even of arriving at any kind of understanding. That this is the ticket for just continuously keeping ourselves immersed in confusion. You know, it's interesting, once a month or so, a group of us meet here. Anybody's welcome to join us, and we do a little bit of shape note singing. And I know many people have a hard time with this kind of singing because it's because of the words. You know, it's Christian in origin, generally, and a lot of Christian kind of references. But if you just enjoy singing, I say you should just come and then just sing. Never mind the words. We don't need to be caught by the words. But one of the songs we were just singing last Thursday night, and one of the songs, there's a line in the song that says, when helpers fail, when foes invade, God is our only sufficient aid. Yes. When helpers fail, when foes invade, God is our all-sufficient aid. See, this might appeal to us when we're caught in our selfish desire, in our selfish delusion. The world is huge. It's vast. And a lot of stuff out there looks kind of threatening, frightening. And sometimes, the help that we seek, it fails. It fails us. And foes are always ready to invade. Yeah. And we'll see the world in this way. And then we'll look to something else, some external thing out there for some kind of refuge. But when we approach dealing with our life with this kind of view, we actually are creating the foe. Of course that help will fail. If it's something external to us, it will fail. We're setting ourselves up for this and then creating even a stronger need, a deeper need for that external thing out there to save us. Like, for example, just looking at what goes on in the world today, you know, and it seems to have this religious component to it, you know, and this talk of good and evil, one side fighting with another. And we have people that attack us, say, for years calling us names, that we're evil. Of course, we forget that we're saying the same thing of others, that they're evil. And finally, it starts to come to blows. And these towers come down in New York City. And most of us are kind of stunned around the world. Everybody's stunned. There's this moment where we could just wake up, be a light unto ourselves to see right here. What are we doing right here? Catch ourselves, all of us. But if we hang on to ourselves and then we feel fearful, we want this protection, then we'll reach out for someone else there who might protect us. But when we do that, we reach for the very same kind of forces that will actually drive us further into this kind of separation and fighting. You know, I don't want to criticize President Bush, but here we had this opportunity to come to our senses, to embrace us all, to help find ways to help us to notice what we're doing to ourselves and to each other. But instead, we pull back and we become, but then President Bush himself, in the minds of many people, then becomes kind of like the savior. You know, that external force out there that we can rely on to save us. But we don't recognize that this whole picture is, you know, it's very fractured, it's divisive, it's contentious. And it's all based on fear. Fear is what's driving all of this. There's no composure in it, no sanity in it. And if we're not paying careful attention, we can easily get caught up in that kind of thinking and get caught up in that kind of fear. And whether we're doing this just on our own personal level, because that's where it really comes down to, personally, we have to watch this in ourselves and in our own personal interactions with others, and setting up contentious situations and whatever. But even as a society, we do the same thing. Well, this is what the Buddha was helping us to look for, to watch out for this. Be a light unto yourself. Betake yourself to no external refuge. You don't reach for something else out there to save you. You be this light unto yourself. You see for yourself what is going on here. You don't need somebody to tell you. You need to take that responsibility to discipline yourself, to look and see for yourself. And most of all, look and see what you are doing in this moment. And in you seeing that, not only are you watching your own personal aggression and what that is and how that comes about, but in doing this, you won't get caught up in some kind of movement to grasp one side or the other and to fight with the other. This is very important that we understand this, but we have to take this up. We have to do this ourselves. So this is what the Buddha meant by be a light unto yourself. It doesn't mean that you walled off in your own personal little ego now. You start calling all the shots and you try to dictate how it should go and how you want it to work. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means that you have the ability right here to see for yourself what is going on and what you are doing. What we start to realize is that our own petty little life isn't all that real, isn't all that significant. Our life is the life of the world. Maybe we can find some ways of getting outside of ourselves. Just this morning, noticing that it was the equinox. I know, just thinking about, you know, the movement of the planet and the sun and all of this, how it all changes. I was just reflecting on how it was Eratosthenes, yeah. One of these Greeks, you know, they all have these names. And he's kind of contemporary with Archimedes. But here's Eratosthenes. He's a genius. And he floated this idea that maybe the Earth revolves around the sun. The Earth actually goes around the sun. He lived in the 2nd or 3rd century BCE. And he's thinking this. And he was actually drawing a map of the Nile River, one of the first people to do that, never found the source of it, but he was down there drawing this map of the Nile River in southern Egypt. And one day, maybe somebody invited him to do this, I don't know, but he just happened to look into a well. And when he looked into the well, normally you look into a well, it's dark, right? A big hole in the ground there, and it's dark. He looked into this well, and it was bright. It startled him. What he was seeing was the sun was being reflected out of this well. He had never seen such a thing before. Have you ever seen such a thing? It'd be a pretty rare occasion. Because in order for that to happen, the sun had to be right overhead. And so it probably wasn't the equinox in southern Egypt, but the Tropic of Cancer does get up into southern Egypt there. So it was probably closer to the solstice. But anyway, the sun was right overhead. I think it actually was on the solstice. So he was probably on the Tropic of Cancer. Happened to be noon when he looked in. Boom. And it's bright. Well, it startled him. And he got to thinking. Got to, you know, pondering this a little bit. What's going on here? I'd never seen such a thing before. He realized the sun was right overhead. And he knew the time and the day and everything. He also knew approximately how far he was from... Where was it? Maybe it was Alexandria or possibly Athens or whatever. But he knew what that distance was. And the next year on that same date, he knew that at noon the sun would be right over that well. And he was now up in, I don't know, Alexandria possibly, or maybe up in Athens, I'm not sure. But he looked at the sun at the same time, and now the sun's at an angle. And this guy, 2nd, 3rd century BCE, he measures from that, he determines the circumference of the earth. And he was accurate to within a few hundred miles, which, you know, is really quite remarkable. Centuries ago. Well, this is a man who, when he sees something like that, you see, he comes outside of himself and he wants to know. He's engaged. He's curious. He wants to understand. But how often do we try to deal with our problems or whatever? We bring ourselves down into our little cocoon, our tight little world here. So where we might even witness some phenomena like that and we don't really think anything of it. Never even occurs to us that we've never seen that before or what that might mean or anything else. We go nowhere with that because we're caught up in our own petty world. So this matter of be a light unto yourself, far from being caught up in that little cocoon of our own petty concerns and whatever, it means exactly the opposite of that, where we forget ourselves. Dogen says to study the way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. It is to realize when you are walling yourself up into this little cocoon, and now you're whining and complaining, and we've had this snow now, you know, and I wanted to do. We'll do this. In the meantime, the whole world is going on around us, and we're not paying any attention. We're not even interested. That's kind of boring. We're more interested in just ourselves here, but we also don't connect the fact that that occupation that we have there makes us neurotic and miserable, unhappy and confused, and then we feel threatened. Foes will invade. So this is a matter of be a light unto yourself. It means to notice, because you have to notice it. Somebody else can't do this for you. You have to see yourself what you're doing. And what it really means to be alive and human in this world. It's really the ticket to happiness. It seems the reverse, because we are preoccupied with ourselves because we want to be happy, but we don't realize how that makes us miserable. And it leads to no understanding. Aristosthenes, who was able to forget himself, lose himself, wonder, out of that he finds great freedom of mind, just to have some understanding of the earth and where he was, you know, centuries ago. Whenever we arrive at kind of a larger understanding, and I don't mean specifically a conceptual understanding like that necessarily, but though that's helpful too, perhaps, but just in, you know, getting outside of ourselves and seeing in the world not solely from my perspective, my view, my concern, my worries. But with understanding comes a real chance for some peacefulness of mind. Because when we realize that the world is vast, you know, Uman, Zen master, who said, the world is wide and vast. He said, why do you put on your robes at the sound of a bell? World is wide and vast. Why do you put on your robes at the sound of a bell? What's he talking about? Well, we go through these routines. We have our daily routines and we hear the sound of the bell and then we do some routine thing. And all the while, well, are we operating out of some kind of idea about this? Or ourselves, or we're not even really paying attention because we're just going through road movements and things. Spinning in our mind, once again, about our little life here and our worries and concerns. But the world is vast and wide. Well, when we turn our attention outside of our little self, what we allow ourselves to finally discover is that what our life really is not something in the tight confines of the little ego. That is an abstraction. That is not even real. You can't even find that thing there. That's you. And what we really begin to realize about our lives, when we allow ourselves just to expand out of these tight confines, is that there's no boundary here. You are the sound and color and feel of the room and the place and the world and the birds and the trees and the stars, all of it. This is your life. It is everything that is happening now. And to the extent that we are not paying attention, that we are not allowing ourselves to be open to this, we're driven down into this tight little self where now we foes can invade, and we will act like a foe ourselves to others. Even out of our good intention to be peaceful and to be nice, we will be violent. And we will be living out of confusion and causing difficulty and pain. To be a light unto ourselves is to see how we get caught in that way, how we bring ourselves down into some petty little thing here. And all the while missing the bright sunshine or the storm that is going on around us. So this is what the Buddha meant when he said, be a light unto yourself and betake yourself to no external refuge. Don't go reaching for some other tightly confined and defined thing that you've set up out there. Because we don't reach out not to God or to Buddha or to anything, some book, some teacher, whatever. We don't go reaching out there for something else to save us and to bolster us and to hold us up and to make us feel better. And it's the pettiness of ourselves once again. So we don't bring ourselves to something like that, because if we see this properly, there isn't anything external. There isn't anything outside. And this is what the Buddha was warning us. So don't bring yourself to that, because if you do, it's just you acting out of your own delusion, out of your own confusion. And that won't save you. That won't make you feel any better. That won't clarify anything in your mind. That'll just keep you more dependent and wanting and fearful and grasping and all the rest of that. There's only two ways about this. Either we notice that or we don't. Either we're caught up in that or we're released from it. It's very simple. So this is like the last point in the Buddha, just one more effort to get this across to those that had gathered around him. So betake yourself to no extent. And then he said, hold fast to the truth. Hold fast to the truth. It doesn't mean your truth or his truth, Buddha's truth or something like that. The Buddha never claimed any truth. You know that? We've talked about this. The Buddha never offered his teaching as though it were the truth. He likened his teaching to the raft or to the finger that points to the moon. We can point it out, and that's what the teacher's role is. We can point out these things, but you yourself have to see that. So hold fast to that. When you see the truth, we can't actually hold fast to it as such, because the truth isn't something we can grasp, but we definitely can see that. And it won't be something set off from other things, because there's nothing outside of it. There's nothing outside the truth. How could there be? The truth is all-encompassing. And it is just this. If we see in this way, if we understand in this way, this is what we rely on. But it is not some external thing, because it is immediately experienced and felt by everyone all the time. But to the extent that we're caught up in our own petty little life, we don't notice that. So hold fast to the truth, he said. And then he said, look not for refuge to anyone beside yourselves. So we don't look. We don't look to the teacher. We don't look to the book. We don't look even to the culture or our education. We don't look to anything that is outside of just this. Because at this point now, we understand when he says beside yourself, he's not talking about this little self. We don't look to anything but just this vast world of experience that is right here. So in understanding, I thought of this line after Claude Anshin Thomas's visit here, because I'm just reflecting on some of the things that he said and talking with him too afterward. And I realize, I think as we all do, you know, the importance of this matter as he laid it out last week. How we get caught up in violence so easily. But this is our responsibility. It doesn't rest with someone else. It comes down to just this right here. And that made me think of these lines of the Buddha. To be a light unto yourself, look not to refuge to anyone besides yourselves. For us, I think, to bring ourselves back to this, to contemplate this, to work it in into our life, to not lose sight of that. Just then in our dealings with others, not relying on others to hold up our personal agenda. On the other hand, we rely on others, but not as others, or ourselves separate from others. What we relied on, hold fast to the truth, and this truth is vast. It is the whole thing. We rely on that. This is also called relying on Buddha. Like when we talk about taking the refuge, taking refuge in the Buddha, taking refuge in the Sangha, and Dharma. Sometimes we get confused there too. Because then we think of Buddha as something separate from me out there, something I have to go to, someone I have to go to, something like that. And that's not what that means at all. The Buddha is right here, it's you. Inseparable from you. But what you really are is not this little you. That's not Buddha. Buddha is synonymous with Dharma, reality. We go there for refuge, but it isn't going anywhere. It's staying right where you are and noticing what you're doing. Okay, well, anyway, those are just some thoughts I had after that encounter. But maybe, do you have any questions? Yeah.
Sometimes it seems that when I am caught up in separation, and...
Oh, is this comment or question?
It's a question.
Okay.
I'll try to rephrase it. When I am caught up in separation and strong emotion, what can my practice be other than watching myself go through it? How can I... Because sometimes it seems that the emotion is really strong. I can try to listen to my mind. I can try not to get caught up.
Oh yeah, but don't try. If you get caught up, what? You're caught up. It is what it is. But notice that. See, we think that somehow you're supposed to execute all this stuff perfectly. I don't know how you do that. I can't do that. I don't know anybody. I didn't. My teacher couldn't. You know. Nobody does this. So, you know, it isn't like we got to somehow, you know, we're sitting zazen and just on the beam, you know, the whole period from bell to bell. It just, you know. So this trying, don't worry about trying. You're here. Be with it. Notice what's taking place. All of a sudden you're reaching, you're screaming, you're wanting, or whatever. Notice that. And just bring yourself back. And you say, well, I can't. I'm just kind of... Well, then see if you can stay with that enough to at least realize what's going on. That's the exercise. And we think that the exercise will somehow bring us to some point. Will bring you where? This is where you are. You're always here. So there's nothing to accomplish here, nothing to get. But it is a matter of just waking up and paying attention. What are you doing now? What's going on with this? By and by, you know, if we think, well, then I want to achieve this, peaceful state or whatever. Well, by and by, as we get more skilled in doing this, things will calm down more. It's true. But we never reach any end point here. So just be aware. Know what that grasping mind is. And just be aware of that. Anything else? Yes.
Yeah, I guess having to say something, the same as getting caught up.
Having to say something?
Yes.
Yeah. Could be. But it depends on how you have to say it. You know, if you have to say it to somehow protect yourself or promote your agenda or whatever, that's getting caught up, yeah. But, you know, if somebody is about to run out in front of a truck and you scream, stop, well, you had to say it, but you weren't necessarily caught up. So, you know, it depends. Boy, this technique of saying, no, I won't get any questions. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.